I want to address you more personally, and I want to talk about something that will be kind of like a little prophetic word, just a drop in your lap and for you to have faith for, and then I want to pray before we end today for the leaders that might fit this. I want to talk about the subject of embracing. In Ecclesiastes, it said there's a time to embrace and there's a time to shun embracing. And so in the kingdom of God, there definitely is a time of embracing and a time that we take things in. There's also a time to shun things that we shouldn't be taking in, things that we should straight arm, and they shouldn't have influence on our life, and so we don't let that happen. I'm going to talk about embracing something in the supernatural realm and something that would be more, a little bit more subjective, but definitely biblical, and you'll get it as I get into it. I want to talk about you as an individual leader, whether you're a team leader, senior pastor, missionary, it doesn't matter what you're doing, your assignment. But I want to talk with you about embracing the turnaround, embracing the turnaround. And I would like to frame this in that I think there are many people in ministry today that need a lot of turnarounds during their ministry, and turnarounds usually, because of the very necessity of a turnaround, means you're up against a pressure, a wall, a problem. We were singing about it this morning, about the walls coming down. I'm thinking about my own personal walls, but we're up against the relational, the financial, the church, the physical, the whatever it might be, the hunger for miracles and supernatural and things that don't happen and healings and building teams, and some of the teams don't work, and there's all the stuff that goes into building church. We understand we're here to be inspired to build church. We want to build good churches, lasting churches, and productive churches. We want to build churches that impact, and churches that penetrate, and churches that have a capacity to preach the gospel and see disciples discipled, and we want all that. It all does start with something called leadership, and it starts with us, starts with me. I noticed when I was pastoring that I could definitely be a lid to the church or a door to the church, depending on my attitude. I could be the lid that would stop us and would hinder, or I could be the door that would take us into a next level and go to another level. I also noticed in pastoring that I had a lot of control over my attitude. My attitude affected things. My attitude affected preaching and prayer and miracles and finance and how I would address things. And so I began to realize that I'm in control of certain things that I should have a better heart toward, a better faith toward. I also noticed that the devil likes to beat me up and likes to beat you up and likes to stop us and likes to sow unbelief into our heart and likes to make us think that it's only us that's doing this, that we're the only realm that exists. You know, it's the natural realm. If I make a bad decision, oh my God, what's going to happen? If this doesn't come through, I don't know how we're going to get this. I don't know how the finance is going to come. I don't see how the building's going to come through. I don't know if I can pray for the sick any better. And sometimes in pastoring, at least with me, I would hammer myself down to the natural realm, forgetting that there was a supernatural realm, forgetting that I'm not in this by myself. It's a God thing. It's a God work. And the supernatural is very real, and the supernatural is available. Can I hear an amen? And so turnarounds in the life of a leader are very important in every area, as I'll get into a few of them this morning. Our worldview is centered around what I'm talking about this morning. Our worldview, our thinking, our reasoning, our values, our perception, everything comes back down to this worldview. Are you a leader that's pushing the worldview where you're embracing the supernatural? You keep that before the church, before your team, before your preaching, and you understand there's another realm. It's not just us, and you have a vocabulary. The realm of the supernatural has a vocabulary, and that vocabulary is God can. It is possible. God could do this. Nothing is impossible. Everyone say, God can. It is possible. Nothing too hard for the Lord. God is omnipotent. He has unlimited power. Able to do anything. He's almighty. He's supreme. Come on, he's supreme. So the God we serve is the supernatural God, Elohim, Yahweh, all these names that we understand. But sometimes in pastoring and leading, we can forget the names and only see the names of people. And so we start facing the budget, what's on the sheet, and the names of people, who's coming and going, and who left, and who got offended, what's going on, and who didn't get healed, and why doesn't that happen, and, you know, the church is not moving the way I want. I just want to encourage you this morning by saying God has plenty of turnarounds for you and your church. And God is able to turn things around even though you can't see it. When we say that God can turn things around, I think about the phrases in the Bible like, he comes between. A phrase that is throughout the scripture, he appears suddenly. Another one, he steps in. And so all of leadership involves something that is nothing to do with our government, our politics, and the secular people, and the schools, and the education, and all the stuff that's going on around us. It can get overwhelming, and it can get absolutely confusing, and you can feel insignificant, and you can look at things and think, we're drowning in the cesspool of stuff, and when's this going to change? It's not a matter of when that is going to change. The kingdom of God cuts through all that stuff, and the kingdom of God has power to establish. People say, well, people are harder to preach to today. They're not any harder to preach to today. It might be that the sermons are weaker. It might not be the secular culture at all. It might be that the church has been secularized and culturized by a culture who has weakened the very message that has power and potence in it, and we just need to preach the message that we have with the power we have and believe that the gospel actually penetrates every heart, and the secular person only has a natural realm. They only have a natural thought. They're living in a natural realm. All they need is one touch of the supernatural realm, and they will think differently. We have a supernatural message. When God steps in, what happens? It's the tipping point. It's the critical point of turn. When God begins to step in, scale is tipped. Something happens. All right, God has a turnaround for you. What did you come into the conference with that you absolutely need a supernatural turnaround? Is it in the finance? How many here need a financial, absolute miracle turnaround? Let me see your hands. Say, I'm in the place where this is no joke, buddy. I need it. How many here would say, I need a breakthrough in our church. We have plateaued for a long time. I'm in confusion, don't know how to break out, and we need to turn around. Let me see your hands. Everywhere. How many would say, I'm trying to build team, but I have a few disloyal people that I would like to kill and bury? If you're here with that team, don't look at them when you raise your hand. God can reverse the irreversible. He can change a bad situation into an opportunity. Only God does this. He can change a dying church into a thriving church. He can change the worst preacher into at least someone that people will bear with. It might not be the highest level, but God can change you, your preaching, your church. He can take something that is an absolute dead end and turn it around. He's the God who does this. He has unlimited power to do it, and he can change a bad situation and make the shift. That's what God does. Now, I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and I just want you to notice, everyone say out loud the word turn. Turn. And everyone say, I would like a turn. For the good. Okay, so all of us are here. We need a turn in our bodies and our spirits and our soul and our marriage and our kids. I mean, we could make the list forever. Because you come to the conference doesn't mean that you're now a bona fide overcomer and everything is perfect in your life and you're just going for it and everybody is going. I mean, you come to conference like we always do. There's people that are struggling. There's people that are hurting. There's people that are doing fantastic. There's people that want to give up. And there's probably 10% of the people that are here. There's a good 1,000 plus here. There's probably 10% that came in thinking I might resign. I might go home and give it up. I think my time is up. I'm only 31, but I think my time is up. I'm 51, I'm too old to keep going. I'm 60, I'm too tired. You know what? The church doesn't do anything around me. Maybe it's time. I just want to speak into every person here and to say sometimes it is time to move on. There has to be wisdom and qualify everything that's in that. I'm not saying that never happened, but I'm saying 9 out of 10 times it's just an attitude. It's a season. It's a place in your mind. It's something where the devil is beating you up and beating you down and causing you to lose confidence and lose hope and lose vision. And I'm telling you this morning, my word to you is that God is a God of turnarounds. He's coming to turn around in your life and your church. God has not forgotten you. He has the power to do this. And if you would just lift your faith a tiny bit, he'll take the rest of it. He's the God who can make things happen. Scripture. Zephaniah 3:9. In the end, I will turn things around for my people. There's no slides for this. This is old school. I'm just preaching. You take notes. If you miss it, then you go directly to purgatory. Zephaniah 3:9. In the end, I will turn things around for my people. Whatever the attack from the enemy had been, God says, I'm going to turn it around. The tests that have come, the things that have tried to come against you, I'm going to end up turning those things around. One thing I've learned in living long enough, if you live long enough, you will find this to be true. God's timetable is so flawed. Is that right, Bill? His timetable. If he would talk to me more, I would help him with his timetable. But the timetable is, it's never the way it is. So the older you get, the more patience you have, the more you relax with it. And even when things turn to the worst and things get darker and a family member leaves the team or something else happens in the family or your best friend or something else happens and you think, well, I mean, Pastor Frank said we're going to have a turnaround and this is a turn around the wrong way. We're now going dark to darker. We're now going anger to real anger. We've lost 3 new families. I came home and proclaimed to the church, this is a turnaround Sunday for us. We're going to begin to grow and I lost 3 more families. What is with that? Well, don't blame me for that. But what is with that is that God works behind the scenes, things you can't see, to bring about the best things you can't even make happen. And to do that, he has to have time to work all the details and the different ends and the different people. And some people that come with you don't need to stay there. The people that stay there are the people that need to stay. The people that go are the people that need to go. And you can't have some emotional tie to everybody that makes a decision or the business guy goes bankrupt. Oh, my God, he's in my church and that's my fault. It's not your fault. Whenever I ran into those things, I would become a 5-point Calvinist. It's all God. God predestined it to be so. Well, we're leaving the church. You're elected. You're predestined to do this. I serve a sovereign God. Everything's in his hands. He's in control. I don't have any control. I'm not going to take any responsibility here. I'm not going to feel bad for you because God meant it to happen. Goodbye. Now, I didn't do it that way. But in my heart, sometimes I would like to say, but God. Well, in reality, it is more about the sovereignty of God than human responsibility. There is more. I could be more the first 2 letters of the Calvinist theory because I do believe God is in control and he does things and he weaves the net together in ways we can't see. And we cry out, God, where are you? And God says, I can't answer you because I'm too busy working. I'm doing what you need to get done. But God, I can't see it. You won't see it until I do it, because if you do see it, you'll put your hands on it and mess it up. And so I'm just going to keep it hidden for a while so that I can finish this thing out. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So in the end, God says, I will turn. Stanley Jones said, surrender the thing you fear into the hands of God. Fear is keeping things in your own hands. Faith is turning them over into God's hands. Another scripture, Jeremiah 31, 13. I will turn their mourning into joy. And you know this scripture has the idea that right at that breaking of day, right at that time where you don't think it's going to happen, God turns that thing that is the most disappointing, the heartbreaker, he turns something that was meant to break you into a supernatural level of joy. You begin to lift yourself into another realm because you see God has turned this thing around and he is turning it around and the victory is in front of you. And so Jeremiah 31, 13, I will turn their mourning into joy. Psalms 126, verse 1, when, everyone say when. When the Lord turned again. And I want you to notice the little word, again. When the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, the streams in the south, sudden floods in the desert, captivity that's going to turn, and some of us need a turning again, again. How about this scripture? Proverbs 13, 12. Unrelenting disappointment, Proverbs 13, 12, unrelenting disappointment leaves your heart sick, Proverbs 13, 12. But a sudden good break can turn life around. But a sudden good break can turn life around. Can I prophesy with my eyes open and just give a spirit of faith into you this morning and just say to you, I think there's a sudden good break coming to your church and to your ministry and to your finance and to your life and to your healing. I believe that God is an absolute good God, a powerful God, and he loves to bring sudden good breaks. Even though you might be expecting just the opposite, I'm expecting bad news, but I'm telling you this morning to at least lean into what I'm saying, that God is going to bring a sudden, everyone shout sudden, a sudden good break. That can turn everything around. I've watched situations my whole life where they turn so quickly. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling that everything was in place, but they turn so quickly. I have a bracelet that I wear that I had made for me. I have a bunch of made because I keep giving them away. But these are my brand, my bracelet, because of my creativity. Just a leather little bracelet. But it says on it, which is a prophecy to me, pick up all the pieces. My last doctor trip, not the last because I keep having them, but after my treatment and then months later after they determined my nerve damage was irreparable and my hip damage was irreparable and I would never ride again, I would never do this, never golf, all the nevers, and I was so upset with the doctor, actually a lady doctor, and she's talking to me and I had to leave the office. I was so emotional. It was a weeping time. It was the worst news ever for me that I was not going to be able to function athletically, maybe ever again outside of a miracle. And when I came back in, we scooted up knee to knee, and she had been through so much with me, and she was truly emotional about what she was saying. She says, Frank, I know. She went off on it, you know, my file, everything you've been through. She says, I want to say this to you. A lot of the people you started with are dead. But she says, you're alive. And you should be grateful that you're alive. I said, I am grateful. Because I was struggling. And then she said something else to me that was so mean. She said, quit your whining. I said, I don't whine. And then she said something else that was absolutely prophetic. She said, pick up all the pieces you have left and build something great with them. Pick up all the pieces you have left and quit whining about the pieces you don't have and the leaders you don't have and the building you don't have and the money you don't have. Everything about the don't. If you live your ministry in that mindset, you won't have the miracles that God is trying to bring into you. So you might as well pick up everything you have right now and worship the living God, praise the living God, and simply say to God, I'm picking up what I have. And we'll build something great with these small pieces. You know, it was her that caused me to go home and reinvent my life and travel. I do more now. Honestly, I do more than I should, for sure. But I preach hundreds of times a year. I go to cities and countries and seminars and intensives and conferences. And my wife says, when are you going to stop? And I said, I can't stop. I can't stop. God told me to not stop. That's not true. But what drives me, that's the only pieces I have left. I can't go on a cruise. Walking up and down stairs, it's an absolute pain in the ear. And going on vacation with friends, they all go out and do things, say, Frank, we'll be back. Don't worry about me. So I picked up the pieces I do have left. I have a voice. I have a heart. I have some spirit. I have a few sets of notes. You're getting one of 10 pages. I have the pieces. What are your pieces? 2 Kings 7, verse 1. I'm talking about a sudden good break. 2 Kings 7, 1, where the prophet Elisha says to the king, this time tomorrow, you will be eating all the food you want, and there will be enough left over to feed the entire city. And the king laughed. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? I mean, we are eating children here, and there is no food within 100 miles. We are in a famine, and you're telling me this time tomorrow that barley will sell for a nickel, 100-pound bag of barley will sell for a nickel? I mean, what kind of a prophet are you? The kind of a prophet that rebukes stupid people like you. Why? Because he was only living in one realm. All he had to say was, yes. If that's the word of the Lord, yes. What have I got to lose? A no is a die. So, no, I'd rather die than believe a stupid prophecy. And that's what some leaders do. Instead, God turned that thing around, and sure enough, the very next day, a miracle had happened and the food was there. But it says in your Bible, but he didn't get to eat any of it. He fell off the wall and broke his neck. The moral of the story, if you have unbelief, stay away from walls. Come on, how many are feeling at least a little bit of a lift in your spirit that you're believing for a turnaround? You're feeling a little bit of a lean in that direction. All right, Isaiah 43, verse 18, 19. Isaiah 43, 18, 19. We're talking about believing for the turnarounds that God has for you. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. If you're going to have a turnaround, and everyone say, I will. Then you're going to have to make this scripture live in you. Isaiah 43, 18, 19, Message translation. Forget about what happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the Badland. Everyone shout amen, 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 amen. How are you going to move to a place where you can have a turnaround? Forget about what happened. Don't keep carrying it. It's a losing battle. Don't keep going over old history. Every time you get with someone, well, you know, so-and-so used to be on staff here, but now they're somewhere else. And I hope that church learns their lesson because they'll be just as bad there as they were with me. And so you just start dumping on that person and they don't even know that that's a bad person. And they're the ones who hire them. And usually people that really don't have any ethics hire people like that. And I think you're going to learn that there's something really wrong with what you have done. What needs to happen in the kingdom of God is you need to forget about what happened. Let it go. Let it go. You did not die and shed your blood for the salvation of any soul. None of them belong to you. Nobody belongs to you. If they choose to go somewhere else, that's their business. They belong to Jesus to begin with. But we get very, very much ownership feeling that these are our sheep and they need to ask us everything they're doing. And now they left me. You need to forget that theory and forget that idea. Go into Calvinism, go into sovereignty, and just bless them in the name of the Lord. Forget about what happened. Another translation, but the Lord says, don't keep clinging to the events of the past. Have you had a church split? Have you had a moral failure in the leadership team? Are you the person following up as the pastor that takes a church that had a real problem? But the Lord says, don't cling to the events of the past. Dwell on what happened before. Watch for the new thing that I'm about to do. And if you had ears and eyes, you would understand it's already happening. You can see it if you would look. The problem is our mind gets so filled with that, we can't see this. And we keep talking about that. And God says, but I have so much more in this, but we can't empty enough to get to the this. I'm telling you this morning to forget the events of the past. Another translation says, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. For I'm about to do something so different. I'm about to do something so new that it won't even compare to where you've been. I will create a future that you never, ever deserved. But I'm going to give it to you because it's my future for you. I'm going to drop things off. I'm going to cut the baggage trains. I'm going to get you to turn your head. And then I'm going to create something that doesn't even compare to what you have gone through and what you have lost. Because I'm a God who moves forward, not backwards. Anybody can be a prophet of backward. And some prophets, that's where they kind of go. But it takes a real prophet to see something in nothing. And then to prophesy and create something out of nothing. Okay. I'm going to give you, it's 12:12. My session's over at 12:15. Is that right? Are you saying it's over? It's not over until I sing, and I'm not the fat lady. Okay. I got 5 more minutes. How many are getting something out of this? I know it's not a full-blown, in-depth teaching, but it'll do. Here's a couple points. You know, I got to give a couple points. One, turnarounds look forward, not backward. Turnarounds have a date where things turn, a time. How about this little word? It's pretty important word in the Bible, I think, on what I just said about turnarounds have a date, turnarounds have a time, turnarounds have a pivotal point, prophetic moment where things shift. How about this? Haggai 2:15. And now, carefully consider, I just want you, if you're taking notes, Haggai 2:15, write down the little word from. And now carefully consider, from this day forward. From this day forward. From before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, you will look back to this day and say, that is the day. From this day forward, this temple is going to be worked on. It's going to be finished. The glory of God is going to fill it. Israel's going to be restored. It's going to be a mighty thing. I know all you see is broken walls and you see broken altars and you see the enemy coming, but I'm telling you, from this day, everything shifted. From this day, the victory was won. Everything was set in order and it was all moving forward. Even though you didn't see it, I want you to put a stake in the ground. And this is Haggai saying to them when they had no reason. Haggai and Zephaniah, Zechariah, the prophets that were prophesying during that 15-year gap when it says in the work of the Lord in Ezra 5 and verse 1 where the work of the Lord ceased and they quit building for 15 years. And then the prophets surfaced after 15 years and they start prophesying to Zerubbabel and start prophesying to the people. And Haggai is prophesying to these people who have had delay, they've had destruction, they've had discouragement, and the work of God was not moving forward. And he says, but from this day forward, it's moving. I want you to put a stake in the ground. I want you to date your calendar this morning. I want you to write down whatever today is, October the 4th, the 8th. Well, the stake went in the ground on the 4th. I want you to write down October 8th. 2019 in Portland, Oregon, God spoke to me and I put a stake in the invisible ground and I prophesied to me and my future and my church and our ministry and I said, from this day forward, I have a turnaround coming. The temple will be finished. The presence of God will fill our house. All the resources we need will come in from this day forward. The prophetic declaration, Haggai 2:18, consider now from this day forward. And then, I love the Bible that it does this, from the 24th day of the 9th month. They dated it. From the 24th day of the 9th month, from this day forward, the Lord's hand had turned and this temple will be finished. They dated it. As a prophetic proclamation to the people as they went forward. Now, don't you remember? 9:24, don't you remember the 9th month, 24th day? Don't you remember what the prophet said? Remind me. He said from that day forward that we would see a supernatural turnaround and a supernatural provision and that God was working and everything was going to shift. It doesn't matter what you see. The broken walls are nothing. The broken altars are nothing. All the enemies coming are nothing because God is going to do a work in our midst that nobody will even believe. And I put my stake in the ground with my family and I dated it October 8th, 2019, that God has already turned this thing around. I dated it. Okay, the new thing the Lord is in process of working is going to eclipse the old. You need an undivided proclamation, an attitude shift. The best is yet to come. And I'm telling you right now, The best is yet to come. You're breathing. You didn't give up. You're persevering. You're standing your ground. No matter if you lost a few steps, I'm telling you right now, you are God's choice in God's place with God's calling, with God's anointing. He's going to turn that thing around. He's going to bless you, your ministry, your church, your future. He's going to bring in surprise money that you could never even dreamt it would come that way. He's going to cause inheritances to come. He's going to cause favor to come. He's going to cause influence to come. He's going to cause the things you can't buy with money to come. I'm prophesying with my eyes open this morning that the favor of the Lord is upon your year. Mark your calendar. Mark your week. Go home and proclaim it to your people. I put a stake in the ground October 8th, and our church is in for many great turns. Just say it. Believe it. Okay. That's it. We are now, I think you're going to actually wrap it up, aren't you, John? Okay. I'm going to pray for you. If you definitely are right there, say, Frank, you preach it into my spirit. I'm believing for leadership, church, whatever it is, turnaround. And I'm grabbing it this morning. I want you to jump to your feet. Those that are right there. Just jump right up. See, I'm grabbing this thing for me and my team and my church, my finance, my health, future buildings, future, whatever. We're standing right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there would come a breakthrough anointing upon these that are standing right here. Lord, I'm praying for every nation represented. I'm praying for every leader represented. I'm praying for every pastor from any size church in any place. I'm praying today that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon them and will break through, and there will be supernatural turnarounds on the right and the left. There will be leaders provided. There will be money provided. There will be buildings provided. We are the church of the living God. We preach the gospel. We preach miracles. We preach healings. We are not giving up on the supernatural. We are believing God for open heavens over our churches, and those miracles will come through and mark our congregation and mark us as a people. We are a people of the kingdom of the living God. Come on, give the Lord a shout and a clap this morning.